Any of y'all ever watch Waters World? You ever watch Waters World? You see it last night? I love it. He went out on the street and he asked everybody what Monday was. It's Columbus Day. And he asked them, who was Columbus? That was the first mistake, was ask him who he was. Amen. What did he do? And all the good stuff. And one man said, well, he discovered something in 1692. You know, when I was in school, we used to sing a song, Columbus Discovered America in 1492. Amen. That was just a little ditty. You didn't forget that, right? But I cannot realize how, I can't say stupid or uninformed, let me use that sounds better, people are today when it comes to the world we live in. The same thing, I say that because it's the same thing about God's Word. People are not informed about who Jesus Christ is. They're really not concerned about a relationship. They're only concerned about the everyday affairs of their own being. I want us to look this morning to the book of Colossians, as Paul has written to us in chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. But I'm only going to preach two verses, 24 and 25. And I want us to talk about the subject, Paul's view of ministry. But the question is, what is yours? What is your view of ministry when it comes to serving the Lord today? I know what mine is, but I'm asking you this morning to think about that for just a minute. In other words, the ministry is what we call a topic. And I like what I wrote here. That was dear to the heart of Paul. Also, the gospel message should be dear to the hearts of God's people. And we are to abide by His Word in our walk each day. You see, Paul never lost a sense of wonder about who God really was. He never lost a sense how God had captivated him on a road to Damascus. He never lost the concept that he was called to go into the world and to suffer for Jesus Christ. Paul himself said when he finally surrendered that he was sold out, really, for the Lord himself. The question today is, what is your perspective? Are you sold out? Well, you know, he had a protege, and his name was Timothy. And he taught old young Timothy. Oh, man, he went with him hand in hand, led him down the right path of life. But he said these words. He said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he considered me faithful, putting me into the service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent aggressor. And he said that in 1 Timothy 1, 12 and 13. As you know, Paul went about persecuting Christians in the name of Saul, young man at that day and time. He was there and held the clothes of those that stoned Stephen over in the book of Acts. But there was one thing about Paul's life. He wanted to be even more than just somebody holding clothes. Paul worked and Paul strived to be the best he could as a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But when Jesus got a hold of him on that road to Damascus, a new light came about, a dawning of a new day. And each one of us in this sanctuary, when Christ touched your life, there should have been a dawning of a new day, a new thought, and a new beginning. So would you stand with me this morning in reverence to the reading of God's Word, the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 24 through 29. Paul said these words, who now rejoice in my suffering for you, and fill up that which is behind, he said, of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Wherefore, I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word, he says, of God. Even the mystery, which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of his mystery, among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, and the hope of glory, whom we preach. He says, warning every man, and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Let's pray. Father, may you work in us today to instill in our hearts where we are and what it is in ministry that you would have us to do to get stronger and committed in serving you. I cannot stress enough in this church over the years how important it is that we take the gospel message and use it in a way for your honor and for your glory. For it's in your name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. All right. Catch that phone call, please. All of you like to do on TV. If you have a cell phone or if you have a small iPad with it, you can now turn to the Gospel of Colossians. Amen. And that'll give you time to look at it. Paul was a man who was direct, didn't waver in what he had to say. He was always abounding in the love of the Lord each day. But there's something that came to mind to him in his ministry that he mentions here, and it's called the source of his ministry. The source of ministry comes through the Holy Spirit that indwells me, just like Paul. He has given me the opportunity, just like Paul, to be able to preach the gospel today. And he will continue that until the day he calls me home and he's finished with me in this life. But until then, we're to stand together on the principles and the oracles of God's Word. Paul knew that his ministry was strong, but becoming a minister of Jesus Christ was not what Saul of Tarsus had in mind. Old Saul, in his day and time, all he wanted to do was to go out and to persecute Christians. We don't see a whole lot of persecution in our country, but around the world, my friends, there were thousands persecuted every day. Paul knew what it was to be a Christian, but he also knew what it was to be on the other side persecuting those that loved Jesus Christ. But when Paul's life changed on the road to Damascus, and he asked the Lord in that blinding light when he said, "Lord, what will thou have for me to do?" The Lord laid it out for him what he was going to do. And a statement that he made, which always stands out to me in my mind in Acts chapter 9, was this: "Paul, you are going to suffer for my cause." And Paul suffered till the day that he died. He was willing to make sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice in his life. And he made mention of that in the first verse that I read to you when he said, "Who now rejoice in my suffering for you?" He said, "I suffer for you." He said, "Even though I suffer for you, I rejoice to know that Christ is living in you. And I do not mind suffering for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ." How many of us in this room today would suffer for the cause of Jesus Christ? Most of the time, we throw our hands up and we surrender real quick when something doesn't go well. I want to tell you, I do not serve a God who surrendered his life. He didn't surrender his life on the cross of Calvary when he died. My friends, he willingly gave his life so that I could have life. He came out of that tomb on that third day, as we talk about, to show me that there will be a life after this life. It's called eternal life, everlasting life. He ascended on high, it says, some 40 days after he walked upon the earth with his disciples and talked to others. And it says that he sits on the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for you and for me today. But the glorious thing is that one day he's going to look over at his Father, and his Father's going to say, "Son, go get your church, your bride, and bring them home." Then all of us that know Christ as Lord and Savior will be caught up, it says, and a glorified body, and whisked away with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That is going to be the day that we will really rejoice. But until that day, as Paul says, he says, "I can rejoice in my suffering because I have a cause to suffer," and that's sharing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. But you see, Paul himself loved the Lord so much after his transformation that he was willing to suffer. He was not ashamed of the gospel, it says in Romans 1:16. He tells us very plainly, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ." And he also said that he brings the message to the Jews and then to the Gentiles. That's us. I'm blessed today to be able to be part of that heavenly kingdom. I'm glad I'm part of that chosen family, as we call it. I'm glad that he has reached out to me in a magnificent way. The Bible teaches us also in Acts 22 that Paul stressed how much and how marvelous he felt about the Lord. He said God had chosen him for the ministry. Now, not everybody standing in the pulpit today across this nation around the world is called by God to be in the pulpit. And that's a fact. Because the calling that God has for a minister is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. You will know when God touches you and when God changes you. I'm the last person in the world that ever wanted to preach anything to anybody. Amen? That's the truth. I had no desire to stand in a pulpit. I had no desire to sit in a church pew. I had no desire to teach God's word. I had no desire to do anything. I just wanted to live my life my way and just leave me alone. Amen. That's how I felt. Maybe some of you understand that. But when God gets a hold of you and God starts to pierce your heart and God starts to pull you unto Him, my friend, it is hard to resist. When I got saved, I did a lot of things. Before that, I said, you know, no way, Jose, as they say, right? I don't want any part of this relationship. When women start praying, and I had 20-some ladies praying for me to get saved, guess what? Things happen, amen. And all of a sudden, I got saved. Well, my whole inclination was, after salvation, was to be what? To be saved, sanctified, satisfied, and set aside and everything else. And don't bother me anymore because now I have done exactly what everybody else had done. I could sit in church on Sunday and I could listen and I could go home and they would say to me, what did you learn today? And I could look at her and say, Jesus. And that was the end of the conversation. You know? Don't go too far. Don't get too in depth because I didn't need any more of that. I just need a little bit of Jesus. You know, to get by. Well, 2 years later, the Lord called me to preach. Now, that was a different story. When God starts working on you for salvation, and then He starts pulling on you to be a minister, there were two things that happened. Either run and hide, or you say yes. That's all you do. My first inclination was to run and hide and not do anything. And just say, this will pass over. Just like the Passover in the Bible, this is going to pass over, and He'll forget all about me. Well, I was wrong because He didn't pass me by, my friends. He stopped at the front door, and He said, I got a job for you to do. I want you to preach the gospel to me. Well, I contemplated this for about 6 months. As I contemplated preaching God's word, I had only one thing in the back of my mind. This is not I don't like standing in front of a group of people. I don't like talking to them about something I don't know. And I went on from there. I had every excuse like Moses did at the burning bush. You know, I can't talk, Doug. You know, you get all tongue-tied, right? And then all of a sudden it's like, you know, he said, I don't care. I'll prepare you for all this. You know, when you tell God you can't do something, the most important thing is remember this. He will prepare you whether you think you can be prepared or not. He will open that doorway. Think about Paul for just a minute. Here was old Saul persecuting Christians. All of a sudden, now here's Paul, new name, Paul now. He's at what? Proclaiming Jesus Christ. You know, he said in so many words, he said, I'm going to persecute him, but now I'm going to preach it. I'm one of you, he says. I'm going to be part of that relationship. And people were afraid of Paul because of his ministry. Because they knew what he did over here, and now they know what he's doing over here. And there was a thing in between that says, is he really still like this, or is he like this? So they had to build what? They had to build that coalition together to really listen to Paul to see if he had changed in any way, shape, or form. And they realized that he wasn't the same today as he was yesterday. You see, when the Lord touches you, you'll never be the same tomorrow as you are today. There's something happens to you, whether through salvation, a calling to ministry, whatever it may be, it is different. And you will know that. Some of you understand that here this morning. It's different. Because God wants you for a specific reason. You see, I serve a sovereign God. I serve the God of the universe. I serve the God of creation. I serve the God that has given me life and has given you life from the very beginning of the day that I was born. But until the day I die, just like Paul says, He said, I rejoice in my suffering for you and fill up that which is what? Behind, he said, of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. In other words, he says, I suffer for the church, I suffer for the relationship, and I suffer most of all for Jesus Christ who died for your sins, he says. I suffer. When you think about yourself right now, just as an individual, you don't have to look at anybody else. I'm talking about each one of you here. You're all separate. You all have your own identity. When was the last time that you gave up anything for Christ? When was the last time you actually suffered for Christ? When was the last time you told somebody about Jesus? So the question is, what are you doing with the ministry that he has given to you? And he said, what do you mean, preacher? He said, I'm not a minister. Yes, you are. As a Christian, you have a responsibility to minister the gospel of Jesus Christ to everyone that you serve. And it doesn't have to be the preacher in the pulpit doing it all, because every one of us in this room are called to minister. To be a minister. Now, I can hear you in the back of your mind, that ain't me, preacher. I can't do that. Have you ever taken the opportunity to ask God to help you do what you need to do? See, he wants you to be surrendered to him and to give your heart totally to him in everything you do today. Paul says, look, he says, I'm suffering for you. I went through all the afflictions for you and for the church. And Paul says, I'm a prisoner. Why was he a prisoner? He was in jail most of the time. You ever notice that? Paul was in jail. You wouldn't have Paul in the pulpit today because he'd be a jailbird. Amen? Isn't that how it goes? Paul, he ain't coming down here and preach, but he was in jail for 25 years. What are you going to do? Let me tell you what. Paul was not concerned about his afflictions, about what people thought about him. He was only concerned about what Jesus Christ was using him for and what Jesus thought about him. That was the bottom line. We got to quit being afraid to preach Jesus. We got to be standing up for who Jesus really is. You know, it's sad today. And I was listening the other day, and you know, I'm not getting into politics this morning, but they made me sick anyway. About taxing churches now, because if I preach the gospel message and I preach what the Bible says, and I preach against, you know, homosexuality, lesbianism, you know, opioids and drugs and all this kind of stuff, they want to take away your tax exempt status. They're talking this now. Let me tell you what. The day I die is the day I quit preaching those things, amen. Until that day, I'm going to preach it just like the Bible says, preach it. And I don't care who likes it or who doesn't like it, because the Bible is very plain on how we're to live our lives, how we're to treat people, and how we're to care about the gospel message. No, I don't like the way people are caught up in the sins of the world today, but the Bible says this, to love the sinner and hate the sin. You can love them. You can reach out to them and pray for conversion in their lives, that they will see what we see and have what we have. That's the bottom line. But instead, we don't do that anymore. We just criticize and analyze. You see, did you reach out on a love relationship? Love goes a long way. I preached it on several weeks, you know. Love goes a long way if we share the relationship. What did Paul do? Paul shared a love relationship which nobody could take away from Paul. Paul says, boy, he said, I'm feeling good. Look what he said in verse 25. He said, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Now, when he fulfills the word of God, he's doing something. He's doing it in the Spirit of God. You see, his ministry was filled with God's Spirit living in him. Wouldn't it be something this morning to see God's Spirit move in this church like cloven tongues of fire? It's set on every one of you. Huh? I want to know how many of you would be breaking for the door. Amen. Huh? Can you imagine in your mind when this happened? At Pentecost, when the Spirit came like cloven tongues of fire from heaven and lighted upon those individuals there, and they started to preach and teach God's Word in the language of the people of that day, and excitement did what? It got moving with the people. But then you had the critics. Didn't it, Warren? Oh, yeah, they drunk on that new wine we gave them yesterday. Amen. No, it wasn't. They were drunk on the Spirit. They were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, living their lives accordingly, building their lives on that foundation. And that's what we have to understand today, that everything we do is to build our lives and our foundation on Jesus Christ. We should never be ashamed to be recognized for who we are and to live up to our calling today. But just think, if the Spirit gets on people in God's churches today, what would it be like? You could not contain what God can do. But the problem is, we have a tendency to what? Quench the Spirit. And that's because of our attitudes and our disposition and things. We're not living up to our calling today of what we should be doing as ministers doing God's work. We're only living up to the calling of what I want to do in my life today, and I'm not concerned about what God wants for me. That's what hurts. Is he number one? Or is he playing second fiddle to you? Where is he at today? Where is he? You have to answer questions for yourself. I know where he is in my life. But where is he at in your life today? I am made a minister of the gospel. Let us just go back for a few minutes. When God deals with you, that special way to minister, he has a way sometimes of just being what I call funny. He has a way of getting your attention. And when he does that, he's doing it for one purpose, that you depend on him to get through the situation. Now, Tommy, I know, and you know, just like I know, that when God starts dealing with you in ministry, you just have to break down. You just have to get down on your face and pray and seek him in every little thing you say and do. And if you don't, he's going to be there on your back door. And he's going to be tapping on your back for a little while until you finally break down and surrender. When you feel God's presence and his hand upon you, my friends, you will know it. And you will feel it. And you'll move as God moves you. Paul said very plainly, he said, I am a minister. I'm made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, he said. Everything I do is for you. It's for you. As a minister, I love this church. Amen. I do. I love every one of you in here. Yeah, I do. Sometimes you get under my skin, but I still love you. That's typical, amen? I may get under your skin, but that's typical. You know? The old says, these things too shall pass. Amen. But if I didn't care about you and I didn't care about what God has for you, I wouldn't be up here this morning preaching to you. I'd be sitting home watching somebody on TV like some people do. And say, I got all holy and sanctified through that. Amen. If preachers don't love the people in the congregation, and preachers don't love sharing the gospel message, then they don't need to be in this position. You don't need to be in this position. You can make all the plans you want during the week as a minister, and I'll guarantee you before Monday ends, they've all changed. Amen. Amen? This week, for example, as a minister, I know that May's cousin was very sick. We went to see him Sunday. Monday afternoon, I get a call at 3:45. McKinley has passed away. He was home. May said, can you go? I said, yes, I'll go. Well, you know, he's a Methodist. He went to the Methodist church. He has a Korean lady that's a pastor, new preacher. So I went, you know, and was there with the mother and everybody, you know, and part of that family thing, you know. Well, it's not always family. And I always remember when she walked in, she looked at me and she says, have y'all prayed yet? And I said, no, we have not. I said, we've been waiting for you to come, you know. The family wants you to so-and-so-and-so, you know. So they did. I prayed with them some other time. So she did. She prayed, sought the Lord. That week, preachers don't always preach at funerals, amen. You understand that? Warren's been teasing me this morning. I was a pallbearer on Friday. I haven't been a pallbearer in 40 years. But you know how I looked at it? That was my calling for that day to do that. Now, I was supposed to go to Maryland that day to D.C. to hold my daughter-in-law as a federal judge. That didn't happen because God had other plans, and I understand that. Sometimes you have to change your plan for God's plan. You may not always agree with it, but His plans are always the right plans. And every week it's like that. I was with a young lady yesterday. I don't think she's going to be here much longer. How do you deal with that situation? Not easy as a minister. You cry with them. You pray with them. You cry some more with them. You share your love with them and the love of Jesus Christ with the family. Pray for salvation for the family. A lot of things happen in life that you don't expect. But this is not just a one-day occurrence. These are things that happen every day. These are things that you don't see a minister do behind the scenes because you're not there with me behind the scenes. But people think you work on Sunday and that's the end of it. I've got news for you. It starts all over again on Monday. And by the end of Friday, you're looking for Saturday and Sunday again, then Wednesday and all the other things that come in between that. And I say to myself this, Lord, the only way I can do this is through your power and through your strength that I can endure the things that I do in life. I say that because I want you to realize something. That a calling of ministry, my friend, is not just a haphazard call. It is serious. And it'll be serious to the day that I die. To the day I die. There's only one message that God gives to me. And it's called Jesus Christ. And if you don't like hearing about Jesus Christ, about salvation, about His death, burial, and resurrection, then I'll tell you this morning, you are in the wrong church. If you want a good-feeling church where the bands are jumping and everybody's praising Jesus through worship, through bands and everything else, and the gospel message is 5 minutes long, I can give you a name of a church. But that's not what the gospel is about. The gospel is the message of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. That's what ministers are to preach. That's what they are to teach you when they come together and bond together in this church, in the body of Christ. Paul could have quit right there, but he went on to say a lot of other things, and I'll give you a couple, and then we'll close. He talks about this ministry. He talks about suffering for the ministry. Then he said this. He said, look at the scope of my ministry. He talks about this dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. And then he said in verse 26, even the mystery which have been what? Hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you and the hope of glory. Paul could have quit right there. But he said three words. Whom we preach. Whom we preach. Who do we preach, he says? Whom we preach, he said, warning every man, teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. He said, that's why I preach, to perfect the saints for the ministry of Jesus Christ, he says, whereunto I labor, striving according to His working, which worketh, he said, in me mightily. I preach that you may understand. You have a responsibility as a Christian to share the gospel.